while I go yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me." Verse 41, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Thus ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. We want to preach on the message today, watch and pray. Watch and pray. What a powerful suggestion. And you're probably wondering, well, Pastor, why did you choose this subject? I was talking with one of our members, and they seemed to be somewhat distressed. And I asked, what's going on? They said, well, I just need prayer. I said, well, have you prayed? And they said, well, I don't know how to pray about this. And I thought about it. I thought about some of the challenges that we all have in our lives when we pray to God and when we speak to him. How do we pray? As a matter of fact, the disciples, if you recall in Matthew 6, they came to Jesus and they asked him, Lord, how do we pray? Or show us how to pray. Teach us to pray. I don't think we'd have any problem with us admitting that none of us pray as often as we ought. Amen. And I don't think we'd have any problem admitting that sometimes we don't know exactly the words that we should use Amen. While we're praying. Amen. So this is a pretty good time for us to look at prayer. As a matter of fact, over the next couple of Sundays, we're going to talk about prayer and the worth of prayer. That's our theme. And next Sunday, prayerfully, we'll be speaking on how prayer works. How does prayer work? Does that sound like something that you would need? I know it's something that I certainly would need. But as we look at the subject of watching and praying, there's always going to be something for you to pray about. Regardless of times are going well or times are going not so good, there will always be something for you and I to pray about. But not just to go to God and have something to say. Listen to what happens when you pray. You're actually seeking God. Any person who is seeking God, it demands that you spend time in prayer with God. Because what are you going to do? You're going to discover God's grace, and you're going to discover what it means to have fellowship with God. Jesus Christ came from heaven to not only save us from our sin, but to bring us to this place where we have fellowship with God. He wants you to know the Father. He wants you to know him. He wants you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives to bring us into fellowship with God. Now, watch this. As I grow in my fellowship with God, I'm going to grow in my fellowship with you. Because more of the grace and power of God is now going to be operating in my life and in your life so that we too have a fellowship with God. That's why we sung that song. You know, what a friend we have in Jesus. And if I can find a friend in Jesus, I can find a friend in you. It doesn't mean that we can often change the world, but that's what Jesus called us to do, to preach this good news and to let other people know that God is real. There's always something to pray about. There will always be needs. There will always be times of distress and times that things are getting to us. If Jesus prayed, and if he felt the need to talk to his Father, then what about you and what about me? What about the situations that we're facing in our life? Do we need to pray?
Amen.
Here they were after they had eaten the Passover and they'd gone out into this place called the Gethsemane, the olive press where that was the gathering place. A lot of people, very large area. If you're in New York, you probably have gone to Central Park. That was like the Central Park of Jerusalem.
It's on.
I don't know. Give me a hand, Mike. But that was like the Central Park of Jerusalem. That was a place where people would gather for different reasons and on different occasions. But Jesus came to Gethsemane with something on his heart. He came because in the next couple of hours, Jesus would be on trial. He would be beaten. He would be hung on a cross. And he would be mocked and ridiculed. And he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." I don't think it was because of the physical threat, but the fact that he knew that he had to bear the sins of the world and that he would be separated from his Father. Jesus came to that olive press. He came to that place where he would pour out his prayer to God and his concern to God in such a way that he would be sweating great drops of blood. If Jesus saw the need for prayer, what about you and me? How do we look at prayer? How do we view prayer as not only something to do, but the most important thing that you will ever do? If you can't pray, then I doubt if you're going to have much fellowship with God. There will always be something and things to pray about, and our prayer should not just be the 911 situations that we experience in life. Yes, God is concerned about your need. He knows what you need even before you ask, but he longs to have this time with you. He wants to know you as his child. He wants to do things in your life and to share with you the great things that he plans for you. God has a plan and purpose for us, and unless you pray, you're not going to discover that. But notice Jesus didn't just say, "Pray." He asked them, "Watch. Keep watch. Watch and pray. Can you watch with me?" Now, why did he want them to watch? Well, obviously, the guards would come from the temple and they would arrest him, and he wanted them to be alert so that when that time came, they would know. They would see that everything that he'd said to them was true. He said he was going to be arrested. He said that this was going to happen. Jesus wasn't saying, "Keep watch so that it doesn't happen." He said, "Keep watch so that you will know how to respond." Prayer is not all about you magically changing everything and making the way smooth. It's about you responding appropriately to life. Life is never going to be easy. Amen. Anytime you came in this world and somebody smacked you, you better not look for it to get any easier. How many of you have been knocked around a couple of times? Oh, yeah, yeah. Prayer keeps you, listen, focused on God, not on your situation. Prayer will say, "God, you've got this. God, you know about this. I'm watching while I'm praying. I'm paying attention to the things that are coming out of heaven and not just the things that's coming my way out of life." Watch. You say, "Well, preacher, why did he tell them to watch?" Not just because of those guards coming from the temple and arresting him. He wanted them to keep watch so that they would experience some of the things. Isn't it good when you are going through something and have somebody just to pay attention with me? You know, you can't change it, but it's always good to have a neighbor. You wonder why we always tell, look at your neighbor, touch your neighbor, and you got tired of touching your neighbor. Matter of fact, they got tired of touching you. But we do that because we are in this church not to experience God alone. Why do we come to church? We come to church to experience God together. And as we experience God together, we all grow. It's kind of like the high tide. When the high tide comes in, it lifts everything. We experience God together. That's what church is all about. Are we perfect? No, by no means. But we have a perfect God, and we have a perfect opportunity to pray to him and have this fellowship with God. So here's Jesus telling his disciples, "Okay, I want you to pray with me. I want you to watch
Watch, keep watch. Look at what's going on. Pay attention. And he comes back to them. And what are they doing? They're asleep. They're asleep. And he asked the question, couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? What would happen to your day if you gave God 1 hour and you watched and prayed? I can tell you that your life would dramatically change. You will not be the same person again. As a matter of fact, you say, well, I don't have an hour. I don't have that much time. Are you sure? I mean, he gives you 24 hours to every day. Doesn't slack you on any of those days. As a matter of fact, he blesses you, I think, every one of those 24 hours. Every minute, God blesses you. And we can't give him 1 hour. And I'm not saying that as an indictment against you. I'm saying it as an observation for all of us. And it's not about saying, well, let me clock God. Let me put him on the clock. Let me clock in. Okay, God, I'll talk to you 1 hour. It's not about that. But it's about being constantly in prayer with God. Are you still here? All right, let's look at this. Jesus said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to the point of death. Tarry with me and watch with me. Now, this tarrying is not something that you do that some of our Pentecostal brethren love them dearly, but it's not about the time that you spend down at the altar. And you can do that. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not condemning that. But if you don't pay attention, and if you're not observant, if you can't wait on the Lord and what? Be of good courage. Know that God is going to do something. When you're at a place where you can't even make a step, and sometimes you listen to what Jesus is saying. He's saying, this thing is so heavy on me, I'm about to die. He was human, but he was also God. Never forget that. Never forget that. And if he saw the need to pray, then certainly you and I need to see the need to pray. So what is this thing about watching? We know that he came back and they were asleep, should have been praying, and they weren't paying attention. And I made a couple of notes that I think it's good. Matter of fact, I said one of the things is if you don't watch, you miss your delivery. If you don't watch, you will miss your delivery. Then another thing I thought about as we look at the subject of prayer and of watching, if you don't watch, if you're not paying attention to what God is saying and what God is doing, not only are you going to miss your delivery, if you can't stay awake and pray, your prayer goes nowhere. Your prayer goes nowhere, and you want God to hear your prayer. How many of you want God to hear your prayer? Habakkuk tells us something that is very important as we go through this and as we look at the fact that we need to pay attention in prayer. Habakkuk tells us that when you watch and pray, everybody say watch and pray. Now, we're not just talking about the words. We're talking about the attitude. Before you even get a word out of your mouth and talking to God, your attitude toward prayer. Mine has not always been what it should. I either come to God and I'm sounding the siren as I come. I used to be a fireman. Yeah, I had so many jobs, I can't keep up with them. Resume for everyone. And what we would do when we get ready to go to a fire, we would turn that siren on. We'd get the lights going and all of that. And that's the way the attitude of a lot of people are. Here they come with their sirens all fired up. Hey, God. He already knows what you're going through. Because, as a matter of fact, he planned the crisis in your life so that you would grow through it and not just go through it. Anybody understand what we're saying? He planned that moment in you. You mean that sickness? Now, please don't read me wrong. I didn't say that God causes the evil. Don't read me wrong. What I did say, he allows the evil to show you that he is God, to demonstrate to you that he is stronger than what you're going through and that what I'm going through. How many of you have gone through things and you said to yourself, I never would have made it if it had not been for the Lord? As a matter of fact, some of you can go as far as to say, if the Lord was not on my side, I would have given up a long time ago. But I'm still here in Jesus' name. Yeah, touch your neighbor, tell him I'm still here. I'm still here in Jesus. I'm not dead yet. Amen. I'm going through some things, but I'm not dead yet. I'm still trusting in God. So here's what we've got to do while we're praying. We've got to make sure that we're watching for God's response. How is God going to respond to this? A lot of things that you see, they're going to look as if, wait a minute, this has got to be a mistake. How is God going to respond? So when you're waiting, when you're watching, this is what Habakkuk did. Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets in the Bible, he saw Nineveh, an evil nation, coming to judge God's people. He said, "You know, what's that commercial they got on TV now? That ain't right. Anyway, this must just be me. Okay. Y'all still awake? Okay, so Habakkuk saw this nation of Syria, the northern tribes of the Assyrians, and he saw them coming in, and the capital of that city was Nineveh. He saw them coming in to judge God's people, and he said, wait a minute, God, I know they're doing wrong, but really? That's like using an evil person to correct someone who's not as bad as they are. It doesn't make sense. But you know what Habakkuk said? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I'm just going to wait. Because I don't know. I don't know why God's doing this. He uses the word, I will set me a tower and I will watch. I will climb up into that tower. That's what you do in prayer. You get above your problem. That's a good one. Write that one down. You get above your problem. I'm going to get up into this tower called prayer. And I'm going to watch and see what God is going to do about this situation. I know that if he is God, then he's going to work it out. I don't know how he's going to work it out, so I'm just going to give me a bag of popcorn and I'm going to watch. No, you don't get a bag of popcorn. But you do watch. You pay attention. Some of the things that's happened to us is that we have not been paying attention. We walked away from it and said, this couldn't be God. You don't know God. You really don't know him if you don't think that he can take a bad situation and make it right. You don't know him. But for those of you that do know him, you've seen him turn things around. You've watched him take the worst thing that could happen and God work miracles through it, haven't you? You know that he's God and that beside him there's no other. The second thing that happens is that you not only watch for God's response, but you watch while you're praying. I don't know who came up with this idea that you need to close your eyes when you're praying. But I can tell you, now some people do, and they close their eyes, but there's not a mandate that you got to close your eyes. Matter of fact, I kept my eyes open a couple times in prayer, and I saw a whole lot of people looking. And I want to commend you, because you're doing what the Bible literally says that we ought to do, watch and pray. Now, every time that you go on your knees to pray, guess who tries to bombard you with worries, problems, this, that, the distractions, everything else. The phone rings. Everything happens because you're now praying. And you've got to keep watch. You've got to pay attention. And sometimes we often fall asleep while we're praying. That's because you got your eyes closed. You keep your eyes open, you can't do that. You're paying attention in prayer. This is an important time. Even if there is no crisis, it's an important time because here you are before Almighty God, and now you got to make sure that you are paying attention. Jesus said to them, watch and pray. Why? Because the Spirit is willing. But guess what? The flesh is weak. About a half hour or so before they got into the Garden of Gethsemane, about a half hour before that, Peter was telling Jesus, Lord, listen, we're going to be with you even if we have to die. And all of the other, amen, Peter, amen, we're going to be with, are we going to stand with him? Let's take a vote on it. All in favor, staying with Jesus until we die, vote aye. And here they come into the garden, to that olive press, and their mouth got bigger than their ability to do. They were talking one thing. It sounds like church folk, doesn't it? People call Reverend Coleman, you coming? Yeah, I'm going to be there. And forget all about it. And they call me, where were you? My mouth got bigger than my ability. You got to understand that because you're human, because you are living in this body, it doesn't mean that your body is evil. It just means that flesh is flesh. You're going to get hungry. You're going to get tired. You're going to get to the place where you just don't feel like it. As a matter of fact, some get that way every Sunday. Time to go to church. My flesh is weak. My spirit is willing. Y'all pray for me. You better pray for yourself. Watch while you're praying. Then the third thing that Jesus wants us to do, watch for results after you pray. Watch for God's results after you pray. Listen, he makes a promise to the children of Israel in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. He says, now listen, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil way, then. Okay, now watch the word then. The word then, all right, Brother Joe, here we go. It's a conditional word. It's on the condition. It's saying that if you're going to do these things, the condition is I'm going to keep my praise. Now, he wants to do it anyway. But to get you out of the attitude that you can just come before God any way that you want to and think that you're going to automatically get blessed, you are dead wrong. You are dead wrong. You don't treat God that way. What you do is you reverence him. How many of y'all still get dressed to come up to church, come out of church, right? Why do you do that? You got that from your foreparents. You got that. I'm not going to condemn people that get up and they got torn blue jeans, you know, and they got all this stuff and they standing up and they worshiping. I'm not going to condemn them. But why in the world would you want to wear a pair of pants that's been torn? Buy them out the store. And now you up here got, you need to go back to the store and tell them people, I want a refund. Do y'all have time for me to go old school? Just a little bit. Old school. They, at the hardware store, they would have these things called iron-on patches. How many of y'all remember that? Now, if you couldn't afford the iron-on ones, you got the ones that you cut off another pair of jeans and then you sewed them on that one because you didn't want to have holes in your clothes. Amen. And the funny thing is, I don't know why folks are buying stuff that's jacked up before you even buy it. But I believe it paints a spiritual picture. We do our best to come before God, saying to God, my attitude is that I want to be better. I want you. Now, granted, clothes don't make you. But it's an attitude. But I guarantee that if you would transfer that attitude into prayer, Lord, I'm going to bring my best. I'm going to bring, because I see you at work in my life. I'm not just going to look any kind of way and act any kind of way. As a matter of fact, some preachers are cussing in the pulpit because they're talking about, I'm going to keep it real. You know what? God going to slap. Lord, I'm just waiting. You know, you speak what God says. By the way, we're going to talk about that in one of our sermons on prayer. One of the best ways to pray is to pray God's word back to him. I know you read the 23rd Psalm, but have you ever prayed it back to God? Lord, you are my shepherd. Lord, I shall not want. Lord, you make me lie down in green pastures. Lord, you lead me beside the still waters. Lord, you restore my soul. How many of y'all were weary yesterday, but then God restored your soul? You learn to pray. and you learn to watch for results. Back to 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to close with this. The promise is, if God's people would humble themselves and pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, then God said, the condition, I'm going to heal your land. Now, wait a minute. Look at this transaction for just a little bit. Humbling yourself, how much does that cost? Not a whole lot. Okay. A few pennies, right? Okay. Turn from your wicked ways. How much does that cost? 2 or 3 good times. All right, turn away from them. Okay. Seek his face. How much does that cost? Not a whole lot. But look at what he's going to add on the other side. I will forgive your sins. How much does that cost? I don't know about your sin, but I'm telling you about mine. That costs a whole lot. And God said, all I got to do is humble myself, turn from my wicked ways, and seek his face. He would forgive my sin. He could stop right there. That would be enough, Brother Rufus. That would be enough if he just forgave me my sin. But you know what he said he would do? He would heal the land. Ladies and gentlemen, that's God. You do a little bit, the part that's on your shoulder, and God will do all the rest. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for prayer. And you've just got to watch and pray. I'm not done with my sermon, but I'm finished with my time. Are you watching? We'll be coming back to this next week, so don't think you're losing anything. But I'm hooking you for next week. As they said in when the Beverly Hillbillies show would go off, y'all come back now. You hear? But let's think about this. Let's think about, before we spend just a few seconds, a few moments in prayer, let's think about this. We go to God with a whole list of things that we want to happen, but we're not watching. We're not watching our attitude. We're not watching what's going on around us. We're not paying attention to what God's going to do after the prayer. All we want to do is just to get it over with. And one of the things that so graciously happens when you pray is that you enter into God's presence. Not literally going to the third heaven, but right within your heart, the Lord of glory sits down beside you, comes to you, places his hand on your shoulder, and says to you, tell me what's going on. And if you're paying attention, this gracious God will just, he'll listen. He will listen to the cry of your heart. He will hear every heartbeat. And then he'll tell you, you know I love you. You know I care about you. You know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. You got to go through this. I'm just imagining what he said to Jesus. You got to go through this. But remember, son, I love you. You're going to face this. I'm going to have to turn away from you. But remember, son, I love you. God loves you through Christ and because of what Christ has done. Pay attention, watch, and pray. Father, thank you. We don't deserve this, God, but then again, it's not about deserving it. It's about recognizing that we've got it. Recognizing that you're our God and that you love us dearly. And God, as we come to the close of this message, we've been challenged. I've been challenged. I've now heard this the fourth time. In the outline I prepared, in the manuscript I prepared, and then reading it over, I heard it again, and now I'm hearing it again. Amen. Keep watch. Amen. Keep watch. Watch with me. Help us to do that. Help us to claim your promises and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to extend the invitation. There may be someone today that if you're struggling with something, and we talk about people coming down to the altar. It's not all that you have to do that, but that is a public acknowledgement. So if you see the need in your life that you need Christ, that you can't live without him, I want to give you that opportunity. May we all stand.